Hello guys, welcome back. Welcome to the RDM Radio Show. And this is Derek Muhirwa that you're listening to, also known as Derek the Priest. And I'm here with George, Dr. George Sekamanje, who is also a prophet of God. And of course, we know that we're here with our great Mr. Daniel Malinga. And we're going to go deep once again, discussing spiritual things and mysteries. Last time we were here, we did a preamble, and we had a question just to prompt us. Someone was talking about how they had lost a loved one, a dear one, and they couldn't really detach from, you know, the meditations and ponderings of what happens when someone dies, the transition process, what is it like? So we just came to a conclusion of we can't really discuss that before starting from the beginning. So let's, you know, talk also about what happens when men are transitioning into this realm of the earth, this realm of the physical. And without further ado, let's give it up for Mr. Daniel Malinga.
All right. Thank you, Derek. So we're going to continue on from the preamble that we had. I'm going to ask you to open Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Let's start from there. Because if we're going to talk about life before birth, which I feel is necessary before we go into life after death, no better place to start than in Christ Jesus.
All right. So this is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Should I go on?
Read that again. Let's read.
According, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. "According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love."
All right. Now, that scripture tells us there that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Another version says the foundation of the earth.
Yeah.
They are in the Bible what are referred to as, I refer to them as eternity statements. They're statements that give us a glimpse of what happened before Adam. This scripture that we just read is one of them.
Mm.
It talks about us being chosen before the foundation of the earth in Christ Jesus. Another scripture, you're not going to read it, but it's in Revelation 13:8. Okay. That says the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the earth. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. If you could just read that one.
2 Timothy?
Chapter 1, verse 9.
Chapter that, 1 and verse 9.
That is a scripture.
I have it here.
Yes.
It's George.
It says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Okay. So there are a number of statements all over scripture that imply that everything that we were given, cannot be separate from the Christ. We were in Christ Jesus before the foundations of the earth. Now, I'd like to emphasize that the earth or the world has stages.
Okay.
There is the stage before Adam was created. So the earth that we see created in Genesis from chapter 3 onwards is, it's a remake.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Mm.
So there was an initial earth before that, where the Bible says, "And in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Then verse 2 says it was desolate and formless. Eh? So there was an earth before that. Then something happened that caused darkness to fall upon that earth. And that's one stage of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was the creation or recreation of the earth in which Adam was set. That's a different phase. Okay. Then after Adam fell, the earth took on a third different phase, which phase we are in now. Then finally, there will be a new heaven and new earth. So the earth, in essence, has four phases, as far as we know, the four that I've mentioned. Okay? Before Adam, when Adam was created, after the fall, and a new heaven and new earth. I would like to emphasize that when the new heaven and new earth are created, I want you to have a glimpse in your mind to understand that it won't look like how it looks now. The earth will not look like how it is. The heavens will not look like how they look now. Okay? Okay? And when it says heavens, it's including the second heaven. Okay? So the stars, the sun, and the moon will be made brand new. The way that we see them now is not how they will be then. Because what we're looking at now in the second heavens, the stars, the moon, they're fallen.
True.
The way they appear is dead.
All right.
Okay? Even the sun.
So redemption cuts across. It's not just for humans.
Yes.
Okay.
which even makes more sense, because they say the sun will burn out.
Yes.
The light will whatever out. And if you look at the light of God, it's always consistently increasing, which is the pattern, supposed to be the real pattern of the sun, because the Bible says the Lord is the sun, something like that.
Mm. So, and also in Revelation, it says that yes, there will be no need for
there
the sun.
No need for the
sun. Because all light will be coming from
God himself.
Yes.
Okay? So, a lot of things that we think we understand in this phase, in this age that we're living in, we actually are looking at a fallen state. And so, there will be a new phase that comes in. Now, it's important we understand that Scripture says that these three bear witness in heaven. The Father, it doesn't say the Son, it doesn't say Jesus. It says the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. That means before the Christ came onto this earth, before he died, before he took on a bodily form, he was known as the Word. Okay?
Yes.
And throughout the Old Testament, the Word was a mystery, a secret, that unless someone got a revelation of him, many did not know he existed. That's why you read through Scripture in the book of Proverbs. It says, who is he and who is his son? You know that scripture?
Yes, yes.
I think it's Proverbs chapter 30. You look for it for me. Not chapter 30. But it talks about, it's actually the one of the only Old Testament scriptures that is talking about the existence of the Son.
The Son of God. Okay, interesting.
Okay?
I could have just had it in passing.
In passing. We'll get it. So it is actually Solomon who gets that revelation. When you get it, you let me know. Now, in Job, you're going to read for me Job chapter chapter 38.
You have it?
Start from verse 1.
Job chapter 38 from verse 1. Okay. Job 38 from verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding.
Okay, so God here is asking Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Now, if you could just read on. Read on, there's a point I want to make.
Okay. Verse 5 says, who has laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or what has, who has stretched the line upon it.
Now, this is important. Mm. Job, God is talking to Job, and Job knows it's God talking to him. And God asks him a question. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?
Interesting. Should have asked Paul.
This is Proverbs 30, verse 4. It says, who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If you can tell.
Okay. So that's an Old Testament revelation of Christ. And back to Job. God is asking Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And I told you the earth had has four phases.
Yes, yes.
Three of them have happened.
Yes, we're in the third one.
We're in the third one.
The third one, yeah.
And so when God is asking you, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Which phase is he referring to?
Interesting. But you know when you say that, eh? I wonder, why didn't he ask, where are you there?
And I'm getting to that.
Yeah. Interesting. Yes, where are you? So it's
yeah. So what that shows us, we haven't answered the question though.
Which phase are we? We're in the third phase.
No, which phase
is he talking about? I believe he's talking about before the very initial phase. Because we have agreed that when you look at Genesis, between verse 1 and verse 2, we are having like a reconstruction, because the same word that God uses to tell Adam, replenish, is the same word he uses to tell Noah after the flood, which makes us understand it was like a remake of the earth. You understand? But when he's talking about the foundation, because when you look at some scriptures in Genesis chapter 1, it says, let the earth bring forth. So we see it was already there. So I believe when he's talking about where are you when I laid the foundations of the earth, he's talking about before even the earth that
he's talking about the first phase.
The very first phase.
So that scripture is talking about the first phase.
Yes, definitely.
It says, so God is not talking about that from the time of Adam.
Yes, yes.
He's talking about
pre-Adam.
Before the pre-Adamic
even before
phase.
The pre-Adamic, when the earth was not in existence.
Okay. Yes. So he's asking him where he was.
Interesting.
And I find it more interesting that after that he asks, who laid?
Wow.
So he's asking, because if the answer is good, there will be no need for him to
ask
who. I mean, it would be easy for Job to say, you did.
Interesting.
Just read it. Read it. Read it.
That's a lot of insight. That's a lot of insight. So the question could be, was he expecting Job to know?
Read.
Let me go back to Job.
Are you there? No, I was getting another scripture to add to this conversation.
Go ahead, add to it.
Okay, this is Proverbs 8:30. And this is wisdom speaking. It's let me start from verse 28. No, verse 27 says, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. And when he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the foundations of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him.
It's interesting. I mean, my heart is boiling with revelation right now. He asks in Job 38, verse 5, that who has laid the measures thereof? I don't know. I could ask a question, Rabbi, as you go on. Okay, let me just say it. I think it. If I look at a bit of the synonymity, because like I had said initially, he didn't ask when the first question, he didn't ask Where are you there? He says, where are you? You understand it? So he's trying to bring a possibility that are you aware of where you are?
Actually, that's the way I look at that entire chapter.
You understand? Yes.
That God is not questioning Job to taunt him.
Yes, yes.
He's questioning Job because he should know.
Yes, 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 yes. That's
like he ought to know.
Yes, yes.
Because
yes.
If you read on, he says, he says, tell me if surely you should know.
Yes.
Or
yes,
surely
yes.
You know.
Yes, yes, yes.
So he's not taunting him.
Yes, 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 yes. If you look at the literal language, you understand. Mm. It looks like he's trying to get him to a place to because I, and then he goes on to say, who has laid thereof? So the question could be, okay, we can put a submission that from the way God is speaking, Job existed, and from
that's
the script.
Now you're
from,
getting it
from the scriptures that we come from.
Okay, let's go systematically for those listening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so. We get the understanding then that God asks him, where were you when he laid the foundation of the earth? Eh?
Mm.
And from scripture, the semblance we get is that there was a pre-existence of Job.
Yes. All right? Yes, yes.
There was a pre-existence of Job. I want to focus on another scripture because I want to show you the pre-existence of man in Christ Jesus. Eh?
Yes, yes.
And then we'll see how far we go. Psalms 139. I'm just going to read it for the sake of time.
Okay.
Psalms 139 from verse 14. It says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. It says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. Now that's very important. Because this made here is referring to, there's a difference between calling something that is not and then making.
Okay.
I'll bring it into.
You see?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Mm. So another word for making is formed. Okay?
Okay.
Before man came into this earth, let me just read the scripture again. It says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. It says, verse 16, thy eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. So he's saying his eyes saw his substance, yet when he was unperfect, yet being unperfect, meaning another version says, you saw me when I had no form. To answer the question, before man came onto this earth, he was formless. Because form has to do with physical.
Physical.
Are you with me?
Yes, because Genesis chapter 2 talks about man being formed, and we are seeing how the breakdown of the physical makeup of that person.
So man was formless, just like God is formless.
Yes, 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 yes.
You know?
Interesting.
People don't understand that. That the scripture says he is the invisible God.
God.
Okay. Mm.
And so when you see God seated on a throne in the heavenlies, it's a form he has decided to take on so that men can relate
with
angels
it.
Can relate.
Can relate with
but God is formless.
Interesting. So that is so it's a revelation that Moses had that he has no similitude.
Man, you can't box him in.
Yes, yes.
So when you see the Father seated on a throne, it's just a form.
So basically, Rabbi, what you're saying is that in this description of him talking of his substance being imperfect, his members being written in this book, he's talking about his body, the physical.
Yes.
Like a design, a product design in its design state, not yet materialized.
Yes.
Okay.
But however, the unformed man existed in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Okay? Now, if a man can think something and it is, as a man thinketh in his heart,
so it is.
What makes you think that God can think of you?
And
you're not.
You're not. Mm. Yeah, it's It's a reality that I think even Jesus awakens when he's talking about adultery.
Mm.
Even though he used it in that
analogy,
analogy, but he makes you realize that if you look at a woman
with lust,
you understand, and lust involves thoughts, emotions. You're in touch with that entity, but from within, even though it's not visualized from outside, in the realm of the spirit, it's actually a reality.
Yeah. So you can't have existed as an idea.
Yes.
You see, the moment God thought you,
yes.
You came into existence. And because God, by his divine nature, does not create non-living things.
Yes.
You are conscious.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
And you see, the reason why I brought up the issue of thought is because when we read Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew you. The word knew there is an intimate knowing. And because it's an intimate knowing, we know that God is referring to a person that actually existed because of the next things he says. He says, I sanctified you, and that's an action.
That's an action. That is
if a thing does not exist,
yes, you can't sanctify it.
It's unsanctified.
There are rituals that you can't do on it.
Yes.
But which also makes me appreciate the concept that later comes on earth, the concept of faith. Because the Bible says that by faith we understand that the things that are known. Okay, by faith we understand that the world was created out of things that are not seen, invisible. That we may know that the things that are known. It says the things, they are known, but they have already been given a form. You get my point. Eh? So it's a reality, I believe, in the realm of the spirit. Eh? You understand? Because you'd have said the thoughts or the things you're believing for, but says the things that are known. So if it says there are already things, even though they are known, then there is a reality in the realm of the spirit. Eh? Yeah.
This is why it's important. So let me just re-echo this. Man had a beginning. We're not going to say at what point that beginning was, but we know that he was in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And that when he came into existence, at some point in the spirit world, he was conscious, because God does not create non-living things.
True.
Okay?
True.
Now, at that point, it was not just one man, but every spirit
of men was within. Which we agree.
Yes, you're agreeing, yeah?
We have to agree.
You have to agree. Colossians 1:15, eh? Just read that. Then just pray for me, John chapter 9, verse 1 to 2.
Read Colossians 1:15. Colossians 1:15 says, who is the invisible, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Okay, so this is just trying to show us the pre-existence of the Christ.
Yes.
And that even before the principalities were set in place, all these things, he existed. Then it says we were with him, in him, before the foundations of the earth. Okay? Now, I want you to understand that when God asks Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? He then asks, when the sons of God
shouted for joy, and the sons of morning sang.
And the morning stars.
And the morning stars, yes, sang. Yes.
So, at the creation, at the very first foundation, angels were existent.
Yes. They had already been created.
Yes. But they were created, but they were not in God like man is. And I don't even know how to explain this. This is why I try to distinguish that man is the seed of God and not just the created of God. And if I made a chair, it's different from my daughter.
Your daughter. Yeah.
Who's my seed. She's always been inside of me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have all come out of you, but one is coming from your loins. Another
is fashioned from what exists. So it's a creation, basically.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's what I was saying, that everything on earth, everything ever created, has an image of God, because it has sonship to God in terms of creation.
Mm. The original idea comes from him.
Yes.
That's what Paul says also. The invisible attributes of God
are clearly seen. Romans 1:20. And so man has the seed and the DNA of God. And so he doesn't just have the character and the nature. He has the DNA of God. He comes from inside of him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's why it says, all things were created in Christ Jesus. But man was more than just in. He was the DNA of God. He was a seed inside. And God knew him from an intimate place.
Yeah.
Do you know the reason why children don't go to hell, and they don't when they die? The reason children do not go to hell when they die is because before their soul has been formed to come to the age of consent, before they came onto this earth, they had an intimate relationship with God.
With their father.
You understand?
Jeremiah.
And so before that cord is severed by conscious sin, they die. They go back
to where they came from.
That's why they can't go to hell. Let me give you an example. Let me see if I can remember the scripture. 1 Kings chapter 14. Eh? Okay. It's a very interesting scripture. Verse 13.
First Kings chapter 14.
The summary of that story is this. That there's a king called Jeroboam.
Okay.
An evil king.
1 Kings chapter 14.
God is angry with him. And so the prophet Ahijah speaks to his wife and says, your whole family is going to die because of the evil that you have done. But read for me verse 13.
Verse 13, 1 Kings 14, 13 says,
now this king's child was sick.
And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good towards the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam.
I see. So this child hadn't even come to the age of consent yet. He was sick. The mother goes to see the prophet to see if they can pray for the child. The prophet says, all of you are going to die. But only the child will be buried because he still has some good
in him. That means judgment could not fall on someone who could not differentiate right
and wrong.
And wrong.
You understand?
Which Roman also agrees and says that they that perish without the law, having their conscience excusing or accusing them, which is not a reality in a child, you understand, shall be judged by that essence. So I believe that's the reality we see here.
That means that even though in Adam all died and all have sinned, that also has a process to it.
Yeah.
Some, before they hit that level or that state of consciousness and consent to differentiate between good and evil, they have not yet fallen. They have not yet reached that level.
So it's called innocence, and God has factored in that.
Okay.
He's factored in that. And so these kids, before you came, you were intimate with God. Now what happens is that when you enter the flesh and you start to grow, the major factor is restoring memory.
Oh, yes.
Okay? That's why, I don't know if I told you guys, I had an experience a few months back when a lady brought her child, 3-year-old, and she was saying, my child says she remembers before she was born.
Okay.
She saw me in the hospital when I was pregnant with the first child. She said she mentioned her grandfather, the father of the lady, who had died 16 years earlier, mentioned him by name, and said she had met him before she came on earth. Now.
No, I love though you're bringing it out, but I would also love you to differentiate, because there's someone who's listening, and then when you talk of she remembers before she was born, and they are first going to think of what some religions preach concerning reincarnation. But then again, I also love the way.
No, I haven't said she was here on earth.
Yes, yes. I also love the way you said it. I'm just adding on that she met the grandfather before she came on earth.
Yes, before she came on earth. So she's referring to incidents when she was not on earth.
Yes, 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 yes.
Which gives us an idea that there's some sort of consciousness long before we enter this body. And in Psalms 139, he said, "In your book, all my days were written." Mm-hmm. That means God is detailed. Now, that's interesting. When you and I plan, we might plan days, but God has planned hours, seconds.
Our seconds and everything.
Every single detail has been pre-planned. So, we know this because scripture tells us that some things are pre-appointed before time. The day that you are born, the day that you die. Angels used to appear to people, John the Baptist's mother, and declare the gender before the child is born.
Before the child is born.
So that means from the spiritual perspective, the gender is known. The same with Samson. Yeah. So you shall have a son. Okay? The same with Jesus. Okay?
Yes. And I also love something about when you talk about the days where Jesus preaches and says, today, this day, this is fulfilled. Meaning it is written somewhere. But because he has grown to remember, he has grown to remember, he even knows when certain things are being fulfilled. And I believe a bit of it are written in the scriptures, but I believe there are more books in heaven.
And so we have to follow the pattern of Christ. Before Jesus came, he was conscious.
Yes, yes, yes.
Called it the pre-existence of Christ. And because we were in him, we had consciousness.
We had the consciousness.
When Jesus came here on earth, he had to grow in wisdom and stature, but also remember. Okay? Now, I'm getting somewhere. He tells these guys in John chapter 8, he says, before Abraham was, I am.
I was, yes.
No, I am.
I am. Says I am. Says I am, yeah.
Before Abraham was, I am. So, he has reached a point by the time he has started his ministry, where he has 100% recall.
Yes, 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 yes. Beautiful.
That's what you call total recall.
Total recall, yes.
100% recall of his mission on earth. Okay? But as we see as a young child, because he did not have the body of sin, because he was perfect, by 12 he had some semblance.
Of aware that he's connected to the father. Was spiritual. He had an assignment and something
like, I must be about my father's business.
Yes. So he knew the real lineage he came from.
And but the issue with us is that we only see glimpses. You see, and so we're given a mission. All of us are sent here with a mission, and this is why I need you to understand that when we are sent here, we're sent here in a very short period of time, because life is short, to complete a mission. Like Jesus came and he knew his mission. Now, if Jesus, who is God, wanted to be a doctor, he would be the best doctor there's ever been. If he wanted to be a swimmer, he would be the best swimmer there's ever been. There's a liberty given to men to be whatever they want. But the focus should be
the purpose, that
the mission.
The mission.
That's why to bring recall, to remind you of that you had.
Interesting.
One of the ways he does that is by dreams and visions. And in Job 33 from verse 15, he says, he opens the ears of man to seal their instruction, to turn him away from his own purpose.
From his own purpose, yes.
So you have the liberty to do whatever it is you want. And be perfect at it. But there is your mission.
So there is your own purpose, and then his good pleasure, or according to his purpose, which the two have to be, you know, distinguished and differentiated for you to stay the course that God has actually set before you.
They have to find where they meet. When you say that, I've thought about a man like Paul, because he also reached and began to understand some of those things, because he says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. So he was able to also go beyond, and we also see he's done right things in Titus, like promises before the creation of the world and stuff like that. So, and yet we also see he had also a cause and purpose, but God encountered him somewhere and was able to bring him on course. And then also, I would also appreciate that when the Bible says that when Jesus leaves, he will leave us with a comforter, who is the Spirit of truth. And then he goes on to say, and he will remind you, which I think it is something that Paul tapped to.
Bring all things to memory.
Of all things that I ever say. So the question is, when did God begin speaking? If he knew us. Because, for example, if you talk of sanctification, it is a form of separation. Sometimes there are words declared. That means through dreams, visions, and also our intercourse with the Spirit of God, he takes us to a remembrance that is beyond here, which is something that Paul was able to walk in. And I believe he was able to see these things here by God taking him to the place where the Spirit of God shows him that actually he reminds him that we were in Christ. We are a workmanship that was created in Christ Jesus.
Appointed for good works.
Yes, appointed for good works. That means a time before existing. So I believe it's also part of the reminding of things.
So to clarify, you existed before the foundation of the earth.
Yes.
In Christ Jesus. You were conscious.
Yes.
Okay. You knew God, had intimacy with him.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
You were sent with an assignment.
Yes.
Right? There was a memory problem.
Yes.
So you struggle to remember that which you were, you came for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there's the prophetic. That's why there are visions and dreams. That's why all these things, encounters happen.
Mm-hmm.
They're memories. That's why they're deja vus. Okay, because you've seen the path before you came to it. Your spirit, your spirit existed in God, but in my mind, it has a dual existence. That when a child is formed inside a woman's belly. The DNA within the blood contributes to the child. But the spiritual DNA also contributes to how that child will appear. This is so important. Because you have the natural, that's why a child will look like his parents. Because there is information in the blood that will contribute to how you look. However, there is also a spiritual DNA. Okay? That contributes to you.
Yeah.
And because we're so used to looking at ourselves in the mirror, we're used to just our physical appearance. And I remember when we had this discussion, I asked, because I've told you that our spirits existed, but they had no form in the way we know form. Okay? But because you're the seed of God, if someone saw you, they would see God.
They would see an the offspring of God, like Paul somewhere talks.
And it's
about
different from like how the angels are, because the scripture says Michael means one who's like God. That has to do with character, nature, not look, not seed form, God likeness. Okay? And so, when a spirit enters the body, it has what we call, what I'm calling dual existence, where there is a presence of that spirit in the loins of a man, and there's a presence of that spirit in God.
True.
It's like how you're seated in heavenly places.
Yes. Jesus also was on earth, and he said,
who is in the,
bosom of the Father. Yeah. So I believe it's, I think maybe our mentalities are usually just limited to how we've understood the limitation of that the flesh is here.
Yes.
But I believe the reality of the spirit is that You know, Paul doesn't even call it duo. You understand? I believe in heaven. It's a reality.
Spirit, yeah.
It's one spirit. You're there,
yeah.
And you're here
as well.
It's omnipresence.
Yeah.
So God can send you, but yes. You can also be in the loins of the man.
Yes, 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 yes.
Interesting. So when Scripture says that the life of the animal is in its blood, we are going beyond the life of that very being, because of the fact that there are, you know, there is a whole lineage that is yet to come, decoded within the DNA of the person.
Yes. Mm. And God is this thing is a mystery. We shall talk about the mystery of blood sometime, because blood is not physical, yeah?
Mm.
It's physical, yes. But blood is spiritual.
Yes. Mm.
And it's spiritual in the sense that if a demon can drink blood that has been offered,
true.
A spirit can take that blood and the blood dries up in front of you. That means that blood is not just physical.
Yes, yes.
You see?
We also see the blood of Abel crying out to God.
Crying out to God.
Yes.
Mm. That means it's conscious. It has a voice.
It has a voice. Mm. And all these beings, the lineage in Abel is there consciously. But also before God. In God.
Interesting. Interesting. I wanted to add some more flesh about what you talked of, where when a man is born, there is a form by reason of the DNA where it takes on the form of the parents, and then also by reason of the God seed or the DNA of God, it takes on the form. When you look at 1 Corinthians 15, it says, howbeit, 15:46, howbeit that which was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, after that which is spiritual. Then says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Says, as is earthy, so also are they. Anyway, 49 is what I want. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Meaning there is a dual manifestation within the man of the image of
the earth and of the spirit. Yes,
of the earth and the spirit. So, and you realize that in the same chapter, he differentiates that there's a spiritual body and an earthly body, which I believe sometimes the two things can coexist within.
Should go listen to that message, because I was explaining how the body, soul, and spirit are all spirits.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
They're all spiritual.
Yes, 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 yes.
You see? There's a spiritual side to the body, the spiritual side to the soul, and the spiritual side to the spirit.
The spirit.
And just to add to that, Rabbi, based on what you've just shared, they all have consciousness.
Yes.
Yes.
That justifies the ability to even remember or observe your members being written down in his book.
And you see, the thing is, people think body is dead. And this is where the problem is. You see, your spirit is alive. Everyone will agree with that.
Yeah.
Your soul is alive. Everyone will agree with that. But the body is also alive.
Yeah. The body is very
alive. It has its own consciousness. Mm. It has its own desires. That's why it needs to be crucified. You can't kill something that is not alive.
True. even Paul asks that. Mm. Can the eye say, can the head say to the leg that I don't need you? So it shows us not just a consciousness within the body, but the consciousness even goes down to parts of the body.
Mm. Which brings me to that revelation that I think is important. Because if the body is alive, the soul is alive, the spirit is alive, all this is man, they all have memory. There's the memory of the body,
the memory
of the soul, and the memory of the spirit.
Yes.
And a man can tap into any one of those memories, depending on how far he wants to go.
Yes, yes, yes.
The memory of the body starts at conception.
So there's nothing to remember for the body
before conception.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Because that's when you put on the body.
That's when you put on the body. Mm. And actually, when you are in Christ, you are a spirit in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the earth.
Mm.
And when Scripture says, "And God breathed into man, man became."
A living soul.
The soul is birthed by the joining of spirit and and body. Mm. Okay? So I feel the body's memory starts from conception, but so does the soul.
Interesting.
And the spirit of a man goes all the way back.
Conception, the moment it's formed within the womb.
Yes.
Yes, yes. And when they come out. Because I was going to say.
But you're a doctor, you know the difference.
Yes, I understand.
Birth and conception.
Yes, I was just shedding light for someone who was listening.
Conception, when the seed and the egg meet.
Yes, because that's also what they talk about, Jeremiah. Him being a prophet.
Ordained
before he's formed in the womb, yes.
And so when God is talking to Job and asking him, where were you when I laid the foundation? He's talking to the spirit of the man.
Yes, yes, yes.
You understand?
Yes,
because
yes,
that part needs to know.
Yes, 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 yes. Rabbi, but Rabbi also, let's you know, there's a scripture says that no man knows the things of this
of the man
except
his
spirit of man that is
such
within
as
him.
The deep things in him.
So should we say, I'm just asking, and I want to shed more light, that the recall is for the body and the soul? Does the spirit need to recall?
Yes. There's a memory of the spirit. Okay. Okay.
Or what's the difference between the recalling of the spirit?
There's a memory of the spirit. You see, now, okay, let's distinguish the two. The three, sorry. There are things your body will remember.
Okay.
You know what they call muscle memory?
I was about to, that's science, muscle memory, whatever.
So your body remembers things from a physical perspective.
Yes. Right?
There are things your soul remembers. Smells, tastes.
Yes, all that. Yes.
And there are things your spirit will remember. It will tap into deja vus and all those. Things that your spirit knows, but your mind and body have not been
acquainted with.
So you feel, I know this.
I love the way you say it. So, so the remembering that the spirit is a reconciliation of what the spirit knows into the mind.
Into the mind, yes.
That's why I wrote that scripture. No man knows the things of this.
So the spirit knows everything concerning you, even before conception.
Yes. So and it's amazing. The Bible says, but those things which your spirit knows are also revealed to you, by the working of the spirit of God within you.
So and that's because your spirit was disconnected from God from
after the fall. After the fall of Adam.
Because of that disconnection, you need the spirit of God to reignite that
reignite
was dead.
Interesting.
Rabbi, can you
is it why they call it a candle? That you
the candle of the spirit, the light.
Reigniting, yeah.
Can you shed light on the difference between our existence before we were, before conception, and the fact that we were in God, but then, the differentiation between the two, in that God remains God, and yet we were in Him. So, like they say, Levi paid tithe in Abraham. So every experience that Abraham had, Levi had it essentially. But there is a beginning of Levi at a certain point, Yeah, can you shed some light on that?
The thing is, that's why when we just started, I said, based on scripture, we cannot pinpoint at what point man came into existence.
Okay.
Because we can't pinpoint that. It's very hard to go further.
Further than
that. We just know God was.
So it just happened at a certain point?
It happened at a certain point. We can't tell when.
There's this scripture that I love. Jesus talking to Nicodemus at night, and he told him that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Rabbi, I would like to hear you, delve deeper with that one.
maybe the first place it will help us is shedding more light on what he talked about.
Yes,
that in you there is that which is born of flesh also. Before, we even talk about the born-again experience and stuff like that. Because that was a statement. I usually call them statements that reveal truth, you understand, in the spirit. So when Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus, he brings out a principle You understand? Which will help Nicodemus understand certain things.
Mm.
You get it? Because he asked him, are you a master? And you don't know these things. Mm. He says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Meaning, there is a part of you that is born in one dimension of understanding. There's a part of you that is born by flesh. You understand? There's also a part of you that has its origin by the spirit. You understand? Which
that's okay. Let me ask. How do you know what is born of spirit?
It is spiritual.
Can something spiritual give birth to something flesh?
Yes, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. Overshadowed Mary. And but you see the interest.
But then you've just broken the rule. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of spirit.
Maybe we are to understand. Because there's all that which is born of God overcomes the world. Meaning there's that which can be born actually by God whose spirit, you understand, and takes on form in the world. You understand? I think maybe in that explanation, the Lord is trying to bring us that in terms of what he's meaning here is the where is this thing conceived from? Because the spirit, anything spiritual, can have a form here in the realm of manifestation. I believe that. So spirit can give birth to what can be seen physically. You understand? The flesh can also give birth to what can be seen physically. But in that essence, we are talking of the nature of what is born. You understand? The nature of what is born.
You know, there are three realms. There's the realm of the flesh, the realm of the soul, and the realm of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Man has a capacity to tap into all realms. Now, there are things that a man has because they're drawn from who birthed him physically.
Okay.
Yeah.
We are listening, Rabbi. We are listening.
So,
essentially, Rabbi, just to give a visual, what is happening when a potter is forming, you know, like working out that potter?
Mm.
That experience is happening. The forming is happening continually. Each man that comes into existence. So,
here's, every other here's man. Why birth is a miracle.
Mm. Yes.
And why man is a miracle.
Mm.
Your physical part, your flesh, your parents will contribute to it. And it will be physical and obvious. The eyes will be the same. The height. If you don't pick it from your father, you pick it from your grandfather. However further you go. Also the soul picks things. Character. Okay? There are things that are drawn from the parent.
So where was the faith of Timothy?
Now, added. The faith of Timothy is spiritual. It's not soul.
Okay.
It's not soul.
Attribute.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is where the thing of the spiritual DNA now flows through a man. And for those who don't understand Timothy, the scripture says that you have the same faith that was in your
grandmother, Lois.
And your mother, Eunice.
That
the same faith works in you. So that's spiritual DNA. So it is not the flesh of a father that birthed the faith of Timothy.
Interesting.
You understand?
Right.
Because that which is born of flesh,
is flesh.
But
so even the faith that was in Lewis and Eunice,
you're arousing many questions. You're arousing many questions,
and we're about to finish.
So this is a question which I know someone is asking. So, the spiritual entity, could it only be transferred through the mothers? Let's say the father had faith. Could that faith go to Timothy as well?
Could I answer that?
Feel free.
You could correct me, Rabbi. But from my understanding, this spirit giving birth to spirit, even this aspect of faith being in, you know, Eunice and Lewis, it is also their spiritual identity, not their flesh side. So it's also possible that the faith could have been in the father and grandfather and flown in that lineage. Yeah.
So let's be clear. and we have to talk about genealogies here at another time, spiritual genealogies. There are things by God's grace that are deposited in lineages from the time, from the beginning of time, that flow spiritually as long as you come from that bloodline. Then there are genealogies that can be begun by a man tapping into a grace. So it wasn't in his bloodline, but he starts it and it flows through. Still, that is which is spirit.
Is begetting,
begetting spirit.
Yes, yes.
You're getting what I'm saying. Yes, yeah? Yes. Okay, so parents pass on body, they pass on soul, they can pass on spirit. And that spirit can be both negative and good, just like soul can be both negative and good, even body, like sickle cells and what, it can be both negative and good. So that's why there's a time I was teaching and I was explaining that there are children who God determines who their parents are. He cannot just allow
any kind of parent.
Any kind of parent. Now, I need to understand. Need you understand that there's the perfect will of God and there's
permissible. Yeah.
We think that all our parents are predetermined. They might be pre-known, foreknowledge, but they are parents who are specifically chosen. It says it goes to Mary
and Joseph.
And Joseph. And Joseph's place was not for DNA. You understand? Eh? Joseph had another purpose altogether. Manoah.
The father of Samson.
Specifically chosen. John the Baptist's parents. Specifically chosen. But that's not the same throughout. Okay? That's why if you look through the scriptures, the Bible says, go back and read, that when Abraham sent out the servant to go and look for a wife, the servant asks, what if
I don't, whatever, then you're free of that vow.
Then you're free of that vow. God will appoint another.
God will appoint another.
There's that kind of freedom that a majority of people, by the way, have.
Interesting, because the servant reaches and has to first pray for God to bring the specific
woman, not just anyone.
This is Genesis 24, verse 3. It says, and I will make this whereby the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you shall not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But you shall go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac.
I you know I'm laughing because I have a question.
We're about to wind up.
Yeah, we're trying up. So now, let's look at a man like Jacob. Who do you think was the perfect will of God concerning the wife? Or that whole circumstance was still God working?
No, it's still God working. You see, the thing is, the scripture says when Jacob saw Rachel, he loved her. Instant. It's not like it was instant from day one. The moment he saw her, he loved her. Now, tradition says the older has to marry first. And God is not a God of tradition, but his purpose can still work.
Can still work within tradition.
Within tradition. Because Judah came from?
From Judea. Because he had one time someone arguing that Jacob was off. It could have been Leah. But then you're also thinking, okay, even Joseph had
a purpose. You see there where the Bible is silent on it. We are cherry picking.
We also see the Lord preventing, I believe it was Abimelech, from sleeping with Sarah.
She was consecrated
for a certain...
And let me tell you, not all women are the same. And one day we shall... But there are those.
say it, but go home with it.
Because women are incubators of particular seed. There are.
Is it why the Bible says he that finds a wife, meaning in many women, not everyone qualifies?
You know, we're going down.
We're digressing.
No, we're digressing. But still, okay, we're still in the conversation. But man, I'm trying to summarize it so that I don't go down this channel. But many people, when they read that scripture, he who finds a wife, the perception they have is from the natural, that she must have the posture of a wife. And I've had people preach that, and it, to some extent, it has some credit to it. She must have been brought up well, be ready to be a wife, because you're a wife before you marry a wife.
She's not a wife when she gets married.
Okay, but you see, from my perspective, from the spiritual perspective, there's an appointed.
An appointed wife.
Now, this
for
is
each one.
Yeah, for each.
None shall lack their mate.
You understand?
But it also.
But permissible will gives you freedom to say no or yes.
And yet that also varies from person to
person.
The permissible.
Yes. How permissible. There are people who do not have the freedom by virtue of the call upon their lives.
Yeah.
They don't have the freedom to marry anyone.
Yeah.
But the majority of people can. Because, and we use examples through scripture.
The Levites.
Yeah. The Levites, you know, had to. It was specific.
Actually, the priestly lineage of Aaron. Specific.
You see.
You married,
As far as we know through scripture, Samson didn't have children. Now, there was a law in the times of Samson. They were not allowed to marry
foreigners.
But you go and read the scripture. The Bible says, God moved him to marry
a
Philistine.
A Philistine.
But it's interesting. It was for the purpose of what he wanted
so
to
that
do
his
them.
Purposes might be fulfilled.
So it was not for the purpose of creation. Yeah,
it's not
the
purpose of. That's why Samson had no children. Because God's purpose was not to have children. His purpose was to destroy the Philistines. So there, generally, you should be careful who you marry.
Yeah.
Okay. But there are people who have the leeway and the freedom, and you'll know by virtue of. Of the call upon their lives. Okay? There are people who are struggling. If you look through the stories of major anointings that have lived on this earth, their wives played vital roles. They might have not have been as loud, but they were very vital to their ministry. Billy Graham often credited his wife.
The Billy Graham story and the wife is also interesting.
There's a man that wrote in a book, and he was giving an account of an experience in heaven, and so he met this great man who had authored great books, and he was so excited to meet. You probably already know who I'm talking about. He was so excited to meet the author of the books, but when he started to commune with the man told him, "By the way, all these books that I published, it was really the woman. She was the one behind them all. People don't know. The world doesn't know." But all my greatness is really credited to her. She was the one giving the revelations that he was, recording.
And I think we also see a consistent pattern, because the Bible says a witness of two or three, the matter is established across the kings of Judah. You realize that whenever a godly woman was married to the king, the seed that came out, the children were godly.
See, look at Jezebel.
Whenever the mother was funny, the children who came out were fine. And it's interesting. It didn't matter the circumstances. It didn't matter whether the temple was alive, whether worship was alive, or it didn't matter whether the nation was in apostasy. The child who took the throne that came out of that, it was the mother.
But can I tell you something as we conclude? Because I feel like it's important to say this. I've said it before in ministry. I'll say it, that there are children who are born because of a posture. There are those born because of an act, the act of sleeping. There are those born because of a particular posture. And it's my understanding through studying scripture that it didn't matter, because Jacob was the one carrying the seed. Who gave birth was dependent on the posture
of the
not oh, God chose Leah, God chose Rachel. You understand? Who came?
Who came?
Dependent on the posture of the person.
Of the woman.
Of the woman, yes.
So
yes,
the seed was already in the man. Oh yeah? But the posture
the woman took.
Yeah, because the Bible says and she cried out to God and said, now
God has Judah will praise his name.
I'll praise his name and Judah comes out.
And Judah comes out.
So it's not if the other one had done.
If that one had done, then the Judah would have come
then.
Wow.
You see? Okay? And it's very, very important because the Bible says it's not a respecter
of men.
Persons. There are things that God looks for in a person. It says, oh, Mary, blessed
among women.
But she was maybe say 17 years old. What could she possibly have done? And I know some people say she's the holiest of all.
It was a posture, because when she's singing, she says that the lowly, they that are hungry and stuff like that, have you chosen and cast away they that are proud. It's she had a posture towards certain things of God, and she actually understood that because of that posture, maybe she was qualified. And I think that's why the Bible is not specific about which virgin.
And that's why Samuel was born to Hannah.
Yes.
Okay. Please understand, he was always in the seed of Elkanah.
Yes.
Was always inside him.
But he had never come through the other.
Never come channel, through the other women.
So it's,
and that's why you can give birth to 100 kids, and all of them are just the act. You've contributed to the multiplication, but they're children that are reward, that are posture, and can come through someone else.
Is this,
okay, we have come to a conclusion.
This is in line with what you were sharing, how different men are born, either by the will of the flesh, the will of man, or the will of God.
It says, actually, the scripture says, not born of the flesh, of the blood, nor the will of man, but the will of God. And he's talking about different dimensions of how men can come onto this earth. Because a child can be born because of the will of a man, which is actually, oh, I want to sleep with you. You see?
I was about to think the will of the man.
And the two can combine, the will of God and the will of man. Okay. We're going to have to come to a conclusion with this. We touched so many things. We started from the eternal and come to
marriage
and sexual activity. And what I want you to understand is that you are predetermined, you pre-existed, your entire path is foreknown, and it can be revealed to you. The next time we have a chat, please send in some questions so that we can see where we can start from. For now, we'll just say God bless you. See you next time.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, guys. You've been listening to the RDM Radio. This is Derek Muhira speaking. I've been with Prophet George Sakamanja, who is also a doctor, and Rabbi Daniel Malinga. Thank you. See you next time. My heart, it beats for you. Pray.